is the home of Phoenix Suns playoff basketball. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
Yeah, Suns up 2-0 over Denver in the Western semis as that series now shifts to Denver for games 3 and 4 on Friday and Sunday. Here to talk Suns Nuggets NBA playoffs with us from ESPN, Tim Bontemps, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. Tim, thanks for the time. How are you?
Doing well, fellas. How are you?
Doing great. Having a lot of fun talking about this Suns team, obviously.
I can imagine.
It's been really impressive, especially last night. I mean, when you take in totality the first two games of this series, what's your biggest takeaway from the Suns' standpoint?
I mean, so far the Suns have taken care of business, right? I mean, coming into the series, I felt confident about their chances of advancing, given the fact that they're playing a Denver Nuggets team that's without Jamal Murray, that's with a, you know, even though he's back, a compromised Will Barton still. Without P.J. Dozier, you know, that's three of their top four guards not in their rotation. You would like to think that a Suns team with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton would be able to take advantage of that. And so far, you know, like you guys said, Suns have played great. Should be plenty to be excited about. And we'll see if they can continue to take care of business as the series shifts back to Denver.
All right, Tim, you were at the epicenter of the of an MVP debate that I'm still struggling with, and it's not that Nikola Jokic doesn't deserve to be MVP. It's the fact that Chris Paul didn't even crack the top five on 49 ballots, and to see the scope of what he's done here, it's really kind of hard to digest that. What do you think of that whole process? I know Ramona Shelburne came on and said that back and forth that you had with Brian Windhorst kind of got people afraid to not vote for Nikola Jokic now that these votes and the voters are public. What are your thoughts on that whole process in retrospect?
I mean, no offense. I mean, I've talked about this with Ramona otherwise. I don't think my discussion with Brian had anything to do with how the votes went. In fact, before the reason that podcast came about was we did it about the straw poll, which I do, which is an anonymous poll of roughly 100 people who vote, you know, at least conforms to what the demographics of the vote looks like, with a couple people from each market, some international voters, et cetera. And I think the final vote for the MVP race had 91 of 101 votes for Nikola Jokic, and that anonymous poll had 90.
Wow.
So I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think, look, Chris Paul had a phenomenal season, right? But if you look at Chris's numbers compared to the other guys that were in the race for that award, they're not even comparable, right? I mean, he averaged like, what, 17 and 8 a mm-hmm. game? And I know this isn't an award that's all about numbers. It's not. But, you know, for as excellent as Chris was this season, you can't compare his season to Nikola Jokic's season or Joel Embiid's season or Steph Curry's season, right? Like, statistically, he just doesn't get into the same ballpark, which is why, you know, I think he finished fifth overall in the voting. Like, that, the fact that he finished where he did with the season he had, statistically, I think is a testament to the impact Chris had on that team in Phoenix. But, you know, I thought long and hard about where I'd put him on my ballot. I honestly can't remember if I had him fourth or fifth on it or not. I didn't have him in my top four. I can't honestly remember right now. You're probably going to laugh at me, but I can't remember who I had fifth. I thought about voting Chris fifth, and I may have voted him fifth. But ultimately, I just don't think his resume stands up with those other guys. And look, Nikola Jokic had arguably the greatest offensive season or statistical season by a big man in the history of the league. And he had this Denver Nuggets team that had Michael Porter in and out of the lineup with COVID, lost Jamal Murray to an ACL, you know, had injuries throughout the season, third in the West. So, you know, I think when you look at the way he played throughout the year, the fact that he played every single game, I think his case is pretty unassailable. And there's a reason why he, you know, ended up having so many votes. I think if LeBron had been healthy and Joel Embiid had been healthy, I think it would have been a way more competitive race. That also includes James Harden, frankly, right?
Yeah.
Like, when James Harden got hurt, people thought he might win. So I don't think it's any knock on Chris that he finished fifth. I just think it's a crazy deep field. And I'm sorry to ramble, but the other guy I didn't even talk about all this is Giannis Antetokounmpo, who basically had the same season he had the last 2 years when he won the MVP.
Yeah.
Right? And he finished fourth. So I don't think it's any slight on Chris at all to finish fifth. I think it's a testament to how well he played and just frankly how deep a field it was across the board this year.
Tim Bontemps from ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. Back to the Suns-Nuggets series. After game one, Michael Malone said he felt like his players gave a soft effort. That was refuted by a couple guys on the team. It was agreed with by a couple guys on the team, too. Last night, he went scorched earth and just said they quit. Is that the sign of a desperate coach or a master motivator in your mind, Tim?
I mean, that's just sort of Mike's move in general. Like, I wouldn't read much into any of this. I mean, Denver knows where they're at, right? They know they don't have Jamal Murray. They know that Will Barton hadn't played in 2 months. They know that that P.J. Dozier isn't playing. Like, they're up against a really good team. So, yeah, I don't think anybody on the team is going to be too worked up either way about anything Mike says. And, you know, if they're going to come out in game three and play really hard, regardless of how he approached his post-game presser, right? I mean, their season's on the line. I'll be a little surprised if Denver doesn't win game three just because they're, you know, they're back at home. Their backs are against the wall. They are a good team. Phoenix probably won't shoot great in game three just because typically you see a swing in both directions when you go back to the other team's place. They tend to shoot a little better. The road team will probably shoot a little worse. But even though I think Denver will probably get back in the series, just like I think Milwaukee will get back in their series tonight with Brooklyn, like I said before, I think if you're a Suns fan, I think you should feel really good about what your team's at, and I'd be pretty surprised if they don't wrap this up in five or six games and move on to the conference finals.
All right, let me ask you your opinion on the other series. What out of game one can you extrapolate? Do you think that thing is going to be like just a slugfest back and forth? What do you think is going to happen in the other Western semi?
I think Utah's going to win the series. Depending on how Mike Conley is, I think they need to get him back at some point. But look, I thought first half of game one, I thought Utah looked like a team that hadn't played in a while, going up against a team that was, you know, fresh off of playing in a really hard-fought series and was ready to go. And I thought in the second half, Utah looked like the number one seed in the West and the team that had the best season in the league this season, right? They're really good. And obviously they're going to be better if they have Mike Conley there, but even if they don't, I mean, they've still got Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and Joe Ingles and Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jordan Clarkson. Like, that's a really good team, right? So, you know, I think I thought Utah would win the series before it started. I certainly feel the same way after they won game one. And, you know, we've seen the Clippers time and again struggle late in games to get into offense and have a flow down the stretch. It's a lot of standing around, holding the ball, and shooting. And while Kawhi Leonard is probably as good as that as anybody in the league, their offense just really bogs down if he's not taking the ball and shooting it every single time. I think you saw that in that final possession of game one when the Jazz did a phenomenal job rotating and forcing Marcus Morris into a contested jumper that Rudy was able to block. And, you know, like I said, I feel good about that series from Utah right now. And if Mike comes back, I really like them to win that series and set up what I think could be a fantastic conference final, assuming they both advance between the Jazz and the Suns.
Yeah, Tim Bontemps from ESPN, our guest. Before we let you go, you mentioned you think Milwaukee gets back into their series with Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn's the better team, but there's still a lot of intrigue there. That other Eastern series, though, Tim, how do you gauge Atlanta's chances? I've been really impressed with what they've done. I think Trae Young has grown immensely in this postseason.
Yep.
What kind of chance do you give them to knock off Philly?
I don't give them much of one, frankly. I mean, that obviously is assuming Joel Embiid stays healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he has further issues with this meniscus tear in his knee and he can't play, then obviously that changes the paradigm completely. But assuming Joel is on the court and able to play, I just think that the Sixers are better, right? I mean, they're so much bigger and stronger than Atlanta is. You know, particularly with Trae Young having to go up against Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle and Danny Green all the time, that's hard over seven games, right? And this Hawks team generally is made up of guys who haven't been in the playoffs before. The Sixers have had their failures in the playoffs, but all those guys have played a lot of playoff games, right? Obviously, Danny Green's won a few titles now, but Joel Embiid has been in the playoffs a lot. Ben Simmons has been in the playoffs a lot. Tobias Harris has been in the playoffs a lot. You know, they're battle tested and they have home court advantage, which I think they'll get back by winning one of these games in Atlanta. And, you know, I think over the course of seven, I feel pretty good about Philly's chances. But you're right. Trae Young coming into these playoffs, I think, had more questions to answer than just about any player. You know, people around the league were really curious to see how he would hold up in his first playoff experience. Would some of the foul drawing stuff that he does during the regular season translate? Would he be able to generate offense in the same way? He's been phenomenal. I mean, I think in the eyes of people around the league, I think he's taken a step or two up in the hierarchy. And, you know, sort of like what's going on in Phoenix, you know, I think the Suns have a better chance to advance farther. But if I'm a Suns fan or if I'm a Hawks fan, I mean, I'm feeling great about my team going forward. Yep. And I think the the one cool thing as a pure basketball fan, for myself talking, is you look around here, we've got a Utah team with Donovan Mitchell that's in the second round, could go farther. You've got, you know, Memphis was just fun in the first round with Ja Morant. You've got the Suns, obviously, with a young, exciting team with guys like Booker and Bridges and Ayton, who are going to be good for a long time. Atlanta's going to be good for a long time. You know, Philly's got some young guys. Like, you look around here, there's a lot of new blood and new faces in the playoffs. And I, as a basketball fan, I think it's very exciting. And it's I think there's going to be a lot of fun series in the years to come with a lot of these guys, you know, coming back time and again in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Tim, thanks so much for the time and the insight. Always appreciate you coming on the show.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me. Good luck for the rest of the series.
Thank you. Tim Bontemps, ESPN. He covers the NBA. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line.